Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Casting Seeds. I'm Savannah, your holistic health practitioner and host, and you're listening to the only holistic health podcast that uses God's singular truth to give you individualized discernment. Today is going to be really fun because I am going to give you some baby recipes that I have been preparing for birth, and maybe I can do a postpartum one specifically for mamas. But this is just going to be a baby one. So if you guys are interested in a specific mommy episode, then let me know because we can do prenatal and postpartum. But I figured a baby episode was already going to be so overwhelming. So either save this episode for later for you to have and download it and so you can write down the recipes, or prepare to listen to this episode with a pen and paper, because I am going to explain everything to you kind of the same as when we talked about, I did fire cider and all of that for another episode. So let's get straight into it. For this episode, we're going to talk about colic and teething, eczema, diaper rash cream, even baby wipes, body wash, all the general things that you can think of I tried to do. So if there's something that I miss on here, just message me and let me know and I can add to it in another episode, or I can add to it and you guys can read it on Facebook and Instagram so that we can do a separate episode entirely for mommies and maybe even daddies too. But let's jump right in because I'm just really excited and I don't want this to go super long because I feel like I can explain a million and one things. First and foremost, a lot of these herbs are going to be reiterated, I guess, throughout the recipes. One, because so many of them are great and multi-use and diverse, which is awesome because then you don't have to buy a million different herbs to make awesome products that can be used internally and externally for your child. I know that I mentioned chamomile often when we were talking about babies in the past, and heck yeah, chamomile is going to be mentioned nonstop throughout these because chamomile is known as the mother herb. There's also, I also want to make it kind of clear that when I'm talking about herbs, I am talking about either buying a tincture or getting the dried herb and making a tea form and or making an oil form. And I'm going to specifically say this because I know I've explained this before in the podcast, but for people who are maybe new, I, as an herbalist, am very anti using essential oils on children and even on adults with skin types, but kids especially. And the reason why is because most adults do not know how to use essential oils properly when it comes to themselves, let alone a child. So as an herbalist, again, I just want to make that very clear. This is not an anti-essential oil show. I am not anti-essential oils by any means. I am just pro using essential oils for what they are made for. They are made as a great fragrance for you to use. Of course, you can use them topically, but I am not a fan of using them internally. And even externally without any type of carriers or fats. So a carrier oil is something that you would mix with the essential oil, like, I don't know, coconut oil or avocado oil or true extra virgin olive oil. You can even, and then when I think of fats, I'm thinking like of butters, like shea butter, mango butter, and tallow, for instance. If you do not use those mixed in properly, then what can happen is, because essential oils are labeled herbally as a stimulant, because what happens is the essential oil is put into a diffuser and the stimulant of it goes up into the air, and that's the only way it can travel through the air fast enough and be heavy enough and light enough simultaneously to be able to go through your nose and in through your nostrils or in through your mouth at that very small quantity at the molecular level for you to be able to enjoy it, right? The same thing like when you're doing a simmer pot and you can smell the fragrance, or when you're cooking herbs, the smells actually can work herbally for you just as well as a tincture or, I don't know, even a tea. Some people are affected so strongly, like that's where the saying came from, slowing down. Why don't you go and smell the roses? Is that the saying? I don't remember what the saying is. But something about slowing down and going, smelling the roses. Having a pregnant brain is great. the reason why is because when you actually smell rose, it actually calms down your pericardium the same way that if you drink the tea or a tincture. So it can affect you just as strongly. It's just that every person is different. So again, this is not an anti-essential oils episode, but I am anti using essential oils the incorrect way because it is a stimulant. Many children have actually grown up within the past 15 years with an overuse of essential oils and then becoming allergic to that oil and that plant. So because your body is seeing it as a stimulant, you're not actually going to process it the correct way. So think about it. If you are taking, let's say, lavender, because that's one of the most common ones that kids are now becoming sick off of. Lavender in itself is a calming herb, right? It's a relaxant, but it's been put into a stimulant form so that it can go into air vapor properly so that you can ingest it properly through smell and through taste. So if you are putting it directly on a child's skin without a carrier oil or rubbing it on their belly or their feet or putting it in their mouth or even an adult's mouth, because it's actually a stimulant and your body is smart, your body sees it as a stimulant and starts treating it like one. So what happens is your body will see it and then bring antibodies to come and fight it, and your body will, start training that it's a stimulant and it's attacking you. And over time, you can actually train your body to see it as an allergy. Especially with little ones, it happens so much faster. Sometimes it can happen in just one dose of doing that to a child. I'm not saying you can't put it in the oils and things that we're going to be talking about coming up, but I am going to say that essential oils as well do not get the entire plant. They only get the scented part. So you're missing a good 80% or sometimes more of the medicine of the plant that could actually help your child much stronger and much less harshly. And you're missing a lot of medicine. Also too, a lot of essential oil companies are not very trustworthy with how they harvest their plants for what they do for communities. And also on top of that, it's just very wasteful and very expensive. So again, I'm not anti-essential oils. I just don't want you guys going out and buying really expensive essential oils and then blowing through them really quickly, not using them properly, and possibly making your children sick or you sick for not using the correct type of herbs that we need. So in this episode specifically, I will tell you if you can add essential oils or scents to things. I personally would prefer to use the scent that naturally comes out of the plant for my child because I'd want to do as little stimulation as possible for my child. And one of the things that we're going to do is even a homemade vapor rub, but you'll see it's not essential oil based. You can add essential oils in it to, help more, but everything that I'm going to suggest is without essential oils, and then you can decide if you want to add it in, okay? That's my little caveat for today. So please, essential oil mamas, don't get mad at me. This is just from herbalism training and going to school. So let's start with internal things that you can use, like colic and teething. So for colic, people are always really surprised when I say this, but fennel and dill and chamomile are amazing for colic, absolutely amazing for colic. And what I recommend normally for children who have colic, it's a simple pimple recipe. You can just go buy these three tinctures at Sprouts, at your local farmer's market, anywhere that you trust, but Sprouts has a pretty inexpensive tincture area. I love local markets, and sometimes I'll make them myself, but that's a different episode. So what you'll do is you're going to go buy these three tinctures at your local farmer's market. If you cannot find dill and fennel tincture and you can only find chamomile, then just use chamomile because it's a great one. Or you can even cook down fennel and dill into a tea and make it into ice cubes. But what I love to do is if you can get the three tinctures, you pour them all in equally. You'd probably only need half of each bottle, to be honest, because that's going to be 1.5 ounces. But you pour them all in equally. into another little dropper bottle, and 5 drops of any tincture equates to 1 cup of tea. 5 drops for an infant, a cup of tea for an infant is significant, especially if you're dropping it right onto their gums, which is going to absorb really quickly into their bloodstream. So I always recommend start with 1 or 2 drops. See how your child responds. They may act a little drowsy. They may act a little relaxed, especially with the chamomile in it because it's a central nervous system relaxant, but it helps immensely with colic. I also want to recommend with colic, sometimes if you're in a really humid environment, the colic can get worse depending on your child. So some children do really well with more humidity. Some children do better with like a cooler, like being outside in the cold air, kind of like what you need for coop. So just kind of test to see what your child breathes better in and cries better in and feels more soothed in. If it's like a steamy shower, you can do something like that or get a humidifier as well. But colic, there's a lot of science behind it that shows that there's a lot of mental aspects to it. So that's why the chamomile is really great, because it's also a central nervous system relaxant, which helps the baby relax in general and calms upset stomach, which that's the next thing I wanted to get into as well. For any type of indigestion for your child, one, I always think it's really good to get a gut test for your baby after they're born. And you can get a Dutch test as well and test their hormones and inflammation. But normally it's better just to get a microbiome test, because whatever mom ate or didn't eat, same thing with dad for preparing for sperm, can affect your baby's microbiome. So getting that tested and finding out what he or she is missing, and then being able to supplement that in with your breast milk or even with your, formula is going to be really great. And you can do that with, my favorite company is Microbiome Labs, and they will offer things that are safe for your child. And I've heard that they've even made individual prebiotics and probiotics for people of all ages. So I know ginger is used often, and peppermint as well. But peppermint can be really stimulating for a baby. Ginger's a little bit softer, and the warmer part for the indigestion will actually help move things along better for an upset tummy. So I actually personally think ginger's a little bit better, but that's just my personal take from what I've seen. I also want to make a recommendation that, again, chamomile is amazing for vomiting and indigestion in general. So you can always, if your baby loves chamomile and does well with it and it calms them down, it also calms down their gut as well. Speaking of chamomile, it also helps with constipation and teething. But I want to talk about constipation first. Normally, flaxseed is also used. So instead of giving your child like the actual flax, you would do the flax gel. So you would soak flaxseed overnight. Chia seed could work too, honestly. It just depends on what you have on hand. But you soak them overnight and then you wring them out the next morning. And then you get that gel consistency. I would say then, if you can, add some chamomile tea into that and kind of mix it in and feed your child a couple tablespoons, and it should help them with constipation. You can also do aloe vera as well, not aloe vera gel that you like buy that's bright green from the store that you put on your skin. that's not what you do. You buy aloe vera plant and then you would use that and blend it, and then you can blend it in with chamomile tincture. I would do if you have like a cup of aloe vera gel or a cup of flaxseed and you're using tincture, you could probably do 60, maybe even 120 drops in it, because it's very diluted in it, right? And then just give your child like a quarter of a teaspoon to start with and then see how they go from there. For teething, of course, yet again, chamomile. Chamomile, because it's a central nervous system relaxant and it calms inflamed nerves, it's going to be amazing for your child. You can also use clove as well, but you should always check to see if the clove is just too intense. And instead of a clove tincture, because that's going to be really harsh and spicy, I would do clove tea. So I'd make a tea and then just kind of do some droppers in their mouth for teething. And I'm going to talk about a teething gel, which, why don't we just head to that, because I have it right here. So if you wanted a gel that would kind of coat their mouth a little bit more, you would do a teaspoon of coconut oil. And then, like I said, with the tinctures, you're going to do 15 drops of a chamomile tincture in it. And then you're going to do 8 drops of a clove tincture and you're going to mix it in. You don't need a lot to coat their mouth. This gel could last you about like 7 uses, probably. It doesn't have to be really thick. But again, what's nice about clove too is it's antifungal as well. Same with the coconut oil. So it also will help if your baby has any fungal issues or candida issues. So that's awesome. I also recommend for the gel, you can put it in the fridge for a little bit so it solidifies and it feels a little bit more cooling. Or if you have those, you know, those like binkies that you can put food in, you can also do that. You can put the cooling gel in there and then have the baby chew on the binky and then it slowly is coming out over time as well. So just make sure, again, taste it. Make sure that the clove isn't too powerful or too spicy tasting. You can even start with just 1 or 2 drops in the tincture if you'd like to taste it and see. But you'd want the overall taste to be stronger chamomile, if that makes sense. So I'm really excited to use that one because I've never made the gel. I've always just recommended people put the tinctures, like chamomile tincture, directly on the gums. But sometimes it works so well that literally babies can act drunk a little bit. So it does freak out parents. But it should only last for children. Sometimes it can last upwards of like 3 or 4 hours, but it can freak out parents the first time it happens. So yeah, those are some, again, chamomile I feel like is used for a bajillion things. You can also use calendula for any of those as well to add in. But I personally like calendula more externally, not so much internally for infants, maybe for over the age of over the age of maybe, let me think internally. I think over the age of 8 months would be safe and totally fine. But I just don't think it's necessary because chamomile helps with so many things and breast milk. So yeah. Okay, let's talk baby wipes. So for me, I'm going to be using like cotton baby wipes, like reusable ones, but I can still do this with cotton wipes. So you just kind of get a reusable dispenser and you fill it up with these ingredients, but you can make your own reusable or non-reusable baby wipes as well by just buying an empty pack of, I would say, non-bleached if you can. And of course, any type of organic, I think bamboo would be the only thing that most people can do, but a lot of the times bamboo can feel really scratchy. So I don't know how people would do that. I am personally doing cotton, organic, 100% cotton. Oh my goodness. 100% organic, non-bleached cotton. And there'll be wet wipes that we can use and dry wipes. So for the wet wipes, you get a reusable container, and then however many wipes will fit into it, you just put it in dry. You can get a roll of paper towels and cut it in half and kind of do this as well. But you're going to get probably upwards of like 2 cups of warm water. It doesn't have to be boiling hot or anything, just warm water. And then you're going to pick a baby wash that you like that is unscented. 100% unscented. A lot of people prefer Castile soap, and that's what I would do. So 2 cups of warm water, 1 tablespoon of an unscented Castile soap. If you are going to do a scented, maybe do like the lavender or the rose because it's very calming as a baby wipe. And then you're going to do 1 tablespoon of either coconut oil or olive oil. I personally prefer coconut oil because it's more shelf stable than olive oil. Olive oil tends to go rancid faster, but it's up to you. And you want to make sure that if you're going to use coconut oil, that it doesn't get super clumpy. So that's why people tend to prefer olive oil. I think you can even substitute both for avocado oil. Again, it's just at your leisure. And if you want, so that's just the basic. You don't have to add anything else to that if you don't want to. If you want to be extra fancy, instead of just using 2 cups of plain warm water, you can do 2 cups of calendula tea or lavender tea because they're both very calming. Calendula especially is very healing. So if your baby tends to get diaper rashes or, you know, especially if like little girls would do really well with calendula, you can even kind of do a hybrid mix of rose, lavender, and calendula. That would probably be my favorite mix. Also, rose just smells so good, and same with lavender. Calendula just has like a non-scented scent. Next is a diaper rash cream. So we're talking about diapers. I figured a diaper rash cream would make sense. For your ingredients, you're going to need coconut oil, shea butter, beeswax, aloe vera, and then you can or don't have to, but you can add any of these herbs that I'm going to mention. So you're going to do 1/4 a cup of coconut oil. You're going to put this into a whisker, like you're going to, I would heat it up and then do a whiskey thing. What are those called? Jeremiah, what are those called? What are you talking about? It's a whisker, right? Like a KitchenAid? Like a KitchenAid, a mixer. Is that what I was trying to say?
Mixer, you're trying to say you
want to
whisk it.
You want to whisk it in the mixer. That's funny. I couldn't say that. Okay. Jeremiah is still here, even though he's not in this episode. So, okay, we'll start over. You need 1/4 a cup of coconut oil and a tablespoon of shea butter and a tablespoon of beeswax, okay? You are going to warm these up in the microwave, or you can do it over a double boiler, whatever you'd prefer. But just honestly, a microwave is so easy. You don't want them to be super melted, but you want them to be nice and soft. You're going to throw them in the mixer while they're getting fluffy. And while it's mixing, you want to add a tablespoon of aloe vera plant. Again, not aloe vera sunscreen crap, but like aloe vera plant. You can also do flaxseed if you want, but aloe vera is much more soothing. And then from there, you're going to add, again, I prefer to use tinctures because you can just go grab the tincture drops and add it in without having to boil it and strain it into the coconut oil. So if you're going to use tinctures, you're going to do either calendula, lavender, or chamomile, right? Because they're all super baby safe. You can also do a little bit of super fine, like making it, you want to grind it up into a powder of oatmeal. So you can do that as well. We would use gluten-free oatmeal because we're a gluten-free household, but oatmeal is amazing for rashes and bumps and all the things. So that's something that I would be, it'd be like a little secret ingredient, but I would do oatmeal personally. So you'd want to use super fine, like it should look like a powder oatmeal. And if you don't have the tincture versions of all the things I just mentioned, you can at the beginning, you can just get tea bags, or loose leaf is obviously my favorite. And in the 1/4 cup of coconut oil, you'd have to do it over a broiler, but you'd sprinkle in the herbs and then let it cook in for about 10, 15 minutes. And then you'd let it sit for another 10, 15 minutes, and then you'd strain it. So it's just like a whole other process. But you'd mix them all together and store it in a jar. And I would recommend, if you're going to store it and have it for a long time, like for a month, you could probably have it for a month shelf stable. If you're going to have it longer than that, then I think after a month you should store it in a fridge, just personally. Next is a DIY baby lotion. So for this, you're going to need 1 cup of shea butter, a half a cup of shea butter, 1/4 a cup of coconut oil, 1/4 a cup of almond oil or jojoba oil. And the herbs that I'm going to mention are calendula, lemon, or orange peel. So for a lotion, you want something that's a little bit lighter. And this is, so you're going to, again, you're going to melt down the shea butter, coconut oil, and almond oil. You just melt them a little bit in the microwave. And again, I would use tinctures. Or if you are a girl like me who saves her orange peels or lemon peels like a weirdo, I love doing that. And then using the, like literally you can spray them. So like you can eat an orange and then just use a little spritz and have a little bit of citrus as a smell. And it's really nice. And I would use that and then mix calendula tincture. Again, as much as you want, you could probably do for the calendula tincture, like for a lotion, I would maybe do like 3 whole dropperfuls, which is 60 drops per dropper. So I would make it more because then you can spread it all over the body. They are alcohol based, but again, that actually makes it more shelf stable. So it should be fine. And again, this would last you about a month outside of the fridge because the oils and butters have been heated up. So once they've done that, they can slowly start becoming rancid. But yeah, I this, I've actually done this recipe before for myself and it's awesome. It's a great texture. And if it is too thick for you for a lotion, you can always add a little bit of distilled water and make it more thin if you'd like. Okay, next is a DIY baby shampoo or body wash, because you can kind of do both for a baby. There is a great company that I'm going to get a shampoo bar. It's kind of like a whole body bar from, and I posted them about them on my Instagram, and I won't say it here on the podcast because I'm not sponsored by them, but if you want to know, you guys can always message me and let me know. So for this, I love, for the shampoo, you get 1/4 cup of liquid castile soap, unscented, of course, 1/4 cup of distilled water, 1 teaspoon of olive or almond oil. I prefer almond oil. It's a little bit sweeter and it just works really well with the molecular body of your skin. And then also, too, optional, you can do lavender. Rosemary is amazing for your skin and hair. Chamomile oils or tinctures if you'd like. So if you wanted, again, for any of this, if you wanted to add it into your oil, you would take the herbs and cook it into the almond or olive oil. Just be careful if you're going to heat up olive oil. It can't go past 350 in temperature without it going rancid. So you can do that as you please. But yeah, so super easy recipe. You just shake well before you use, and you can use it all over your child's body. Just be careful if you do use the rosemary. It can feel a little tingy, like tingly in a baby's eyes. So just be aware of that. Next is a baby powder, which is talc free, which I know all of us like. This one's super simple. It's just arrowroot powder. Some people like cornstarch as well. I prefer just arrowroot. It's so smooth and so soft and normally is much more organic than cornstarch. It's hard to find really good cornstarch, but some people also like to mix in a tablespoon of of bentonite clay. So if you wanted to do that, it would be 1/4 cup of arrowroot and then a tablespoon of bentonite clay. Bentonite absorbs really well, so that's why people tend to like it. You can also do like a pinch of like ground lavender, calendula again, or chamomile if you really wanted to, but easy peasy. Next will be the eczema cream. This one is, I feel like, on top of the list. A lot of people ask me about how to make eczema cream, and I just want to give the caveat, if your child has chronic eczema issues, normally it's a gut problem. So I want to recommend that you get your baby's gut tested and not just use this, but this can help externally. It just is not going to fix the chronic problem. It's kind of like a Band-Aid. So I just wanted to make that clear before I gave you this recipe. So this one's probably one of the most complex of all the recipes. You're going to have 1/4 cup of shea butter or mango butter, 1/4 cup of coconut oil, 1 tablespoon of beeswax, 1 teaspoon of calendula or chamomile. So, and that's a tincture worth, okay? 1 teaspoon of a tincture of calendula or chamomile. I would say do 1 teaspoon of each. You're also going to do about 20 drops of vitamin E oil, 3 tablespoons of aloe vera gel, and 10 drops of holy basil tincture. So this is super easy. You just get a double boiler or a glass bowl or a simmering pot or whatever to melt the shea butter down, coconut oil, beeswax, all of that stuff together. Once it's all melted, you're going to remove it from the heat and stir in the calendula and vitamin E and all those extra things that I was talking about if you're using them. Then you're going to pour it into a small container and let it dry and solidify. I love to do an extra step before, like after you take it off the heat. I love to whip things up. It's one of my favorite things because it makes everything feel really soft. You don't have to for this at all if you want it to fit into a smaller jar. So just know that it's versatile. Okay, another great one is a DIY kind of chest rub that's baby safe. This only is good though and safe for babies 6 months and up. I wouldn't do it for 6 months and under. And that's because for this, if you're going to add this plant, it's just very stimulating because it's a menthol-based plant, which is eucalyptus, right? And some people like to add peppermint as well. So that type of stimulating plant just isn't safe normally for children under the age of 6 months. And especially if you do decide to use an essential oil in it, because it's safe here, because you're going to use a carrier. So again, nothing. And I'll give you a 6 month and under option as well. Or I'm sorry, 5 month and under option as well. But for the chest rub, all you do is you get shea butter, coconut oil, and beeswax. You add 1 or 2 drops of eucalyptus essential oil if you're going to do it. I prefer just get an essential or a eucalyptus tincture and do about 10 drops because it's going to be super, super intense already. You can also add chamomile as well to kind of calm it down and make it more soothing. But if you want the exact amount for this rub, because it's hopefully and prayerfully you're not going to be using it very often, I would just do like, because I forgot to write down here, but I do normally like 3 or 4 tablespoons of shea butter, 1 tablespoon of coconut oil, and then I slowly add in beeswax to see how thick I want. So for me, I would do probably, when I think about beeswax, probably a half a tablespoon of beeswax. So you can add more beeswax and kind of remelt it down and play with it, but that's what I would do. And it's going to be thicker because you want it to be thicker, right? When you're rubbing it on, you can hear me doing that on my chest. When you're rubbing it on, you want it to be more tacky and beeswaxy because that's what's going to make it last longer. So again, if it's too creamy, just add some more, melt some more beeswax into it and mix it in. For 5 months and younger, you can do fever compress cubes, which again works for the whole body or just putting it on their head or the back of their neck especially. But you brew chamomile tea and peppermint tea separately. Then you pour them into an ice tray mixed together and then wrap it in a cloth, and then you can gently compress it on your baby on their head or their feet or the back of their neck. And last but not least, I wanted to give a fun little ending and talk about a little DIY bubble bath, which I'm kind of excited about for our child, which I just realized I get to tell everybody this week what we're having and the name. I just got even more excited. So if you're listening to this whole episode, you're gonna hear that. But first, I'll give the recipe. So you're going to do 1/4 cup of baby safe liquid castile soap, right? What we talked about before, preferably unscented, but lavender is always a good one. Your next one is going to be 1/4 cup of vegetable glycerin or coconut oil. I prefer vegetable glycerin. I feel like it just kind of bubbles a little bit better, but a lot of people love coconut oil. So kind of play with it and see which recipe you prefer. And coconut oil is much more hydrating. Last, you're going to drop in, and ready, you guys, I'm going to say it, any essential oil that is calming. So you could do about 5 drops of, I don't know, lavender, again, rose. I'm just trying to think, lemon balm. What are some good ones? I don't know. Doesn't really matter. Because I feel like lavender is one of the best ones. But at the end of the day, you can kind of have fun with it and have a signature scent that your child can get excited about for bath. So yeah, I hope you guys like these recipes and I hope they make sense. If there's anything that doesn't, you can always contact me and let me know. But okay, I feel like, is there a drum roll? Is there a drum roll button, Jeremiah? I feel like I asked that a million times and you've never gotten me a drum roll button. Baby? Oh, Jeremiah abandoned me. I think he's folding laundry and being a sweet husband. Anyway, I don't think there's a drum roll button. But okay, you guys, we found out and confirmed this Monday. So just like yesterday, because I'm recording this the night before right now, that officially we are having a baby girl, which is shocking. We both thought 1000% we were having a boy. 10,000%. And if you guys want to see the little gender reveal thing that we posted on Monday, you are more than welcome to watch that. It's really cute. We used tea because I'm an herbalist. We were going to do tea if it was a boy or a girl. And I explained too in my stories what I would have used for a boy to make it blue and what I used for a girl to make it pink. But yeah, and her name is Penelope Alora Scagliotti. So little Penelope is going to be coming in August, and we're so blessed and so thankful and very, very, very excited. And yeah, that's why all these things are on the top of my brain right now, because this is the type of stuff I'm preparing for. And I don't think I would add this into the ebook just because I'm already doing so much in the little ebook already. But if you guys want a little recipe book of everything that I'm going to make for Penelope, especially for a girl, there's definitely differences of what I'd use before a boy and a girl herb-wise, because sometimes that can affect a child. So I can do that. But yeah, thank you guys for being such a sweet blessing. And also thank you for your constant prayers. I was bleeding last week, and there was also some high stress things that happened as well, which didn't help with my bleeding. But I'm just really honored and blessed for you guys as a community and for my online community that do pray over us and pray over our pregnancy. She is safe and looks good. We had our anatomy appointment. And yeah, I just can't believe that we're on our 20th week. And I did switch over OBs as well, because I was sick and tired of hearing an OB tell me that I just, you know, just 5 or 6 more weeks, and if you still need to abort, instead of just helping me through my pregnancy and through the blood loss. So yeah, you gotta know when to vacate the premises. And I did. So hopefully this new OB is better. And I'm praying that with Jeremiah starting his new job, that we can even do a midwife instead. It just depends on what the Lord has in plan for us. And either way, I just want our daughter to come into the world as healthy as possible, even if it's not a part of my birth plan and what I would prefer. So thank you guys. And if there's anything I can do to love on you and support you or pray for you, I love getting your prayer requests and emails and over text and Facebook and Instagram. So if there's any way I can love on you, or if Jeremiah and I can send you out a Bible, please contact us and let us know. And in the meantime, keep spreading God's love and joy. And as always, keep casting seeds. We hope you enjoyed learning how to cultivate God's creation from a biblical perspective. Holistic health is to prioritize whole person wellness through Christ. Like and comment on what topics we're casting seeds or casting pearls.
If you found this information provided useful, subscribe to our podcast for future updates, leave a review to help us improve, and share this episode. We would like to remind you before we leave that perfect health cannot be attained in this world.
Only spiritual salvation through sanctification and repentance to God and turning away from sin will give you a perfect body in the kingdom come. Nourish yourself in the Word, in prayer, and in biblical fellowship daily.
Thank you for joining us today, and a special thank you to our listeners for making this podcast possible.
Always praying.
Keep casting seeds.